there.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you great. Is this okay, the illustrious Corey Taves? Or is it
this
illustrated
is...
Corey Taves? I'm not sure which one it is.
I'd say I'm more illustrated than illustrious.
I like that better anyway.
Yeah.
So this is it, dude. This is the podcast. I've got Corey Taves with me. Longtime friend, all around good dude, and the brother from another mother.
That's right. And also heterosexual life mate, but
that's
you won't admit it.
Oh, I'll admit it.
Yeah.
So this is kind of your second appearance on the podcast, I guess?
Yeah, the first one kind of fell through because of, got distracted. We were down at KeyCon and just couldn't maintain it because, children.
yep, definitely. you were on there a little bit here and there. A couple of shouts. I think you told somebody off.
Yeah, probably. Sounds like something I would do anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you got anything you want to talk about, or you just want to chit-chat?
You know what? Actually, I had something that I thought we could chat about.
All right. What do you got?
This, today is the fourth anniversary of the death of the late, great Dave Brocky of the rock band War.
Is that today?
It's today.
Wow.
It's been 4 years today that he was found dead in his home in, I think it was Virginia. And, everything has kind of gone on since.
Holy shit. I definitely remember. I don't know if you knew or not, but I actually did a special rum-powered review on Shane's channel on that day and had a shot of Jagermeister in his honor.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
I don't think I saw that episode, but...
No?
No. I'll have to go back and...
Go back in the archives and go find it?
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. So, okay, well, then you want to talk about Gwar? We could talk about Gwar.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's something that I think both of us are kind of passionate about, with the comic strip, Meet the Geeks. I've always kind of called Gwar the house band.
Yep.
Because everybody, can seem to agree on them.
Yep, definitely. I think all the geeks have been to a Gwar show except for Matt.
Matt and, I don't know, even Thomas has been. So, yeah.
Yeah, Thomas has been. Shane's been. Shane was kind of an unofficial geek.
Yeah, he's geek brother.
Yeah, geek brother, yeah.
Yeah.
What the hell
going
with Matt? Dude, go see a Gwar show.
Oh, come on, actually, I don't even know if it would be up his alley or not. Honestly, don't know where that boy's musical tastes lie.
I think from a moral perspective, it might totally offend him.
Yeah, at the same time, he's got a pretty good sense of humor. He's, pretty open-minded.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, for all the shit we put that boy through.
Yeah, exactly.
He has a great sense of humor.
Yeah, kind of broke his brain a couple of times. Definitely took some of his innocence.
Yeah, and I think specifically the two of you guys beat the shit out of each other during our movie foray.
Yeah.
We should put those pictures up sometime.
You know what? I'll get around to it.
No. I don't mean I mean the actual pictures from the movie.
Yeah, I have to try to find them again.
I have them all.
Yeah, and I know they're on my computer somewhere. Just, a matter of digging them out and actually doing, a retrospective or something on them.
Well, okay, I didn't even tell you about this yet. So I know we're going to talk about Dave Brocky, but just a little aside. I did register SeanBeginnity.ca last weekend.
Okay.
And I have started up the website. I haven't launched it. I'm still designing. But I've got a place to put them.
Okay.
That's what we want to do. I was thinking of having, it's going to have sub pages, and maybe one of the sub pages are stuff that I've done before, just to kind of keep a record of it online of, oh, wait, Sean did that, or whatever. So I was going to have an Evil Within page for that movie we were on.
Yeah.
So I can do it there pretty easily.
Yeah. Should we definitely collaborate on that?
Yeah.
Get together some of the stuff that we've got.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a good project, and, you know, friendships were forged. You know, that's where we forged our friendship. So.
Yeah, so let's... Okay. We're going off the rails already. Oh, yeah. I was going to say, we talk about how we met, but maybe we'll save that for another episode. Let's talk about Dave Brocchi.
Okay, let's talk about Dave Brocchi and Guar.
Okay, so how were you introduced to Dave?
Well, actually, I guess it would have been back in high school. Scum Dogs of the Universe had just come out. I remember at the time that Guar was actually supposed to be playing a show down at the University of Manitoba, but...
Oh, really?
Ooh. Yeah, but I think they got blocked from entering Canada. I'm guessing it's probably something drug-related. So, you know, that show never came through.
There wasn't enough drugs in Canada, so they canceled the show. Maybe.
Just lost you.
Yeah, I know. It's just that one spot. I have this every day. Okay. Sorry, what I was going to say was there wasn't enough drugs in Canada, so they decided to turn around at the border.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's, you know, that's kind of my first introduction to Guar. You know, bought one of my classmates' copy of, you know, Scum Dogs of the Universe.
So, just to confirm, I'm a little mixed up on what songs are on what album. But was that the one that had Sick of You on it?
Yeah, that was, Scum Dogs was their second album. It was, you know, their kind of, I think, really breakout album.
Well, that's, okay, so my introduction to them was exactly at the same time then. Because it's Sick of You, I'm like, what the hell is this? I love it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, each covered in blood wearing monster suits, you know, what's not to love?
You know, I know.
You're teenage metalhead geek, you know?
So yeah, it's the perfect exactly match of all our loves.
Yeah, so that's, you know, really where kind of my love affair with Guar started, and, you know, just kind of went on from there.
If they could have thrown Catherine Bach in there, it would have been perfect. Because that was the other love at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Catherine Bach. And so then what was your progression with them then? So, like, did you follow them all the way along? Like, I didn't, but did you?
You know what? I picked, usually asked for their albums for Christmas for, you know, quite a few years. Lost interest in them for a little bit after This Toilet Earth came out, because honestly that was really their weakest album. But you know, over the years, you know, I still pick up the CDs every once in a while, listen to them, you know, had a couple of the albums on, you know, cassette tape, you know. Mm-hmm. Just to completely date myself. And yeah, just and then, you know, as the internet started coming in, you know, it was a lot easier to find out information on the bands you like. You know, there's more access to the videos, you know, because, you know, they got some airplay, but as rap started becoming bigger and, you know, metal started taking the back seat to, you know, in popular music, you know, there's less and less of their videos being played. So, you know, there's a bit of a drought for a while. But, you know, I think it was just back when Guar was actually planning on coming to Winnipeg, you know, when I really, you know, kind of got gung-ho about them again.
So, you know, okay, so when was that?
That was going
back. Was that the show that we went to? Like the that show that we went to, that's when you got back into them?
Yeah, right about then. So that would have been like, what, 2005, 2007, somewhere around there?
That's what I was trying to figure out. I was trying to remember my first Guar show. That was my first Guar show.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what year that was. Was that 2005?
Yeah, because it was Yumi and Clay, right?
Yes, definitely was, yeah. And it was at the Pyramid Cabaret.
Yes, yeah.
I played that stage.
Yeah. Rockstar.
So that takes us to that show. Now, I wasn't so, for me, I, like, Scum Dogs of the Universe, and then I fell off, like, it was a joke band. I was trying to be a little more serious with my metal, with my Iron Maiden and stuff like that, and then I kind of lost interest in them, and then after you made me go to that show with you, and you made Clay go to that show with you, and it was the best, you know, it was the best time, it was the best peer pressure ever.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, actually, that show, I think, really solidified my love for Guar as well, because we had that opportunity to actually meet Dave Brocchi.
Yes.
You know, because he was just, you know, yeah, because, you know, nobody really, you know, most of the casual fans, they had no idea what he actually looked like. But, yeah. You know, it's like, is that Dave Brocky? And it's like,
I remember you were so excited.
Yeah, so we go over and, you know, we talk to him, like, shocked the hell out of him.
I think he spoke in a higher octave when you said that, too.
Yeah, probably.
God, it's Dave Brocky! Oh, oh!
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, might have been having a little fanboy moment. Might have been making a mess of my pants.
Yep.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, it's just the fact that, you know, he actually, you know, made time to talk to us. You know, he's making time to talk to...
He actually hung out. Like, he just hung out there. It was like, dude, you don't have to do that. You're Guar, man. Like,
yeah,
I was impressed.
Yeah, and I mean, that stuck with me because, you know, it's why, you know, I'd always describe him as, you know, a true gentleman of rock.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's willing to make time for his fans. He's willing to talk to them. You know, he's not a diva. You know, he knows where he came from and he knows, you know, the people that, you know, got him where he is. So, you know, he was all about, you know, the people that were there to see him. So.
Yeah, he wasn't really about the, I wouldn't say about the media, but he wasn't really about, oh, how do we mainstream this band?
Yeah.
It was never about that. And I like that he didn't, you know, sell out or it's like, you know what, this is the band, this is what it is. And, you know, you can either like it or hate it. I don't really give a shit. I like that attitude.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, as they went on, obviously they had to find more ways to become more commercially viable because, or at least financially viable because, you know, people just started downloading albums, you know, the album sales weren't there anymore, so, you know, they branched out into the Guarbecue, you know, they have the Guar Bar,
yep.
They had barbecue sauce, they have the Guar Beer, and, you know, other products, you know, other stuff on top of, you know, the regular merchandise that they sell.
They also get a revenue stream coming from YouTube as well, because I think in retro stuff comes back on YouTube, and you can get paid pretty well from YouTube.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're going to have, you know, fairly high numbers of viewership, so, yeah, they're going to be seeing, you know, revenue coming from YouTube as well.
Yeah, exactly. So. But I think for them, like, I think they came around then for us, like, we were like, oh, my God, this is, I didn't realize they're still around, A, and B, this is actually good shit.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, they've become polished on their instruments, they've got their, you know, they got their act down, like... You know, as chaotic as it is and all that, they are professional musicians.
Yeah, and
they,
I mean,
become even better songwriters as, you know, time progresses.
Yeah, well, I mean, they tried a couple of different things, you know, especially on this Toilet Earth. You know, it was not a straightforward metal album. You know, they had some country elements in there, some, you know, they had a lot of horn, which is, you know, yeah, it's not something that you expect to hear from, you know, a band like Guar, right?
No, of course not.
So... You know, it was on that album that I think they kind of started really getting back to their thrash roots. You know, more punk, more thrash. And that's, I think, when they really, you know, found their groove. Because all the albums after that have been, you know, more or less amazing.
Yeah, very true. And I think, like, there's also been a resurgence in music in general for thrash. I think when Metallica became mainstream, or they didn't become mainstream, but mainstream finally came around to them going, okay, fine, you guys are a great band. Like, that's what it feels like to me.
Yeah.
And other smaller bands finally were getting their due. Like, Slayer is considered an icon in music outside of metal as well. Like, people go, yeah, Slayer is awesome. I don't like metal, but I know who Slayer is. Like, I think a lot of those bands start to get a lot of cred, and them being, you know, going back to the thrash roots is perfect.
Yeah. Well, my newsfeed on Facebook, you know, it's just been, because I follow a lot of other musicians, and a lot of them, you know, maybe not a lot of people know about, you know, like Richter Ravensbrück of the Electric Hellfire Club. You know, he penned a, or, you know, wrote a little, you know, tribute, you know, put up a picture of him and Dave Brocky from, you know, I guess late 80s.
Okay.
Back when Electric Hellfire Club and Guar were touring together.
Oh my God, what a double bill that would have been.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, it's wish I lived in the States sometimes.
But, except for right now.
Yeah, well, we just won't get into that.
No.
That's a whole other podcast. That's a couple of podcasts right there.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, and then... you know, so I definitely took, you know, Dave's death, you know, somewhat personally, because, you know, like I said, you know, I met the guy like twice. You know, it was for very brief periods each time, like, yep. Maybe 10 minutes or less, but each time he had been cordial, he had been gentlemanly, even though he was thrown out of his gourd.
Yep.
Both times. I didn't know that person's pupils could get that wide.
Nope. I remember that.
And, you know, yeah, when I read about his death, you know, I was hoping that, you know, it's just a joke, you know, one of those...
Well, it could be, yeah, like...
Yeah, death hoaxes. Yep. But, I mean, why would they target somebody like Dave Rocky, right? You know, he's not really mainstream cultural icon.
True, true.
But, you know, it was definitely, you know, a little bit apprehensive there for a while about what it would mean for the future of, you know, war, so...
But, interestingly enough, they've continued on, and... to be honest, it's really fucking good. Like I saw them after he died.
Yeah.
That was you, right?
And Thomas. Yeah.
You and Thomas. Okay, that was that show. And I don't want to speak ill of the dead or anything, but it was almost like they were tighter. But they had a mission. Like, we have to honor the legacy. We have to. It wasn't. Done for a payday, that much was apparent. They had to make it good in his honor, and it really came across. Like, that show was mind-blowingly amazing, and what great musicians.
Yeah.
Like, I really, well, like, you know what? No, they're not a joke band. They're not comedy. They're a real fucking band, and they're solid. Like, I really enjoyed that show more than I thought I would.
I mean, part of it is, you know, definitely the character of Blofner and the musician behind him, you know, Michael Bishop. Mike Bishop was the original Beefcake.
Yeah.
His Beefcake's name actually came from Michael Bishop's nickname back during his punk days.
Okay.
He was known as Beefcake the Mighty. So when he joined Gwar as bassist, that's when you know, his character's name became, you know, Beefcake the Mighty.
I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah, there's been probably, what, a half dozen musicians that have worn the armor over the years, but... Yeah.
It's cool that he came back, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was on there on, I believe, Hello. I think I was talking about Beefcake, you know, how he was one of the co-writers of, you know, those albums. He also sung, you know, quite a few, a couple of songs on those albums. He sung Eat Steel, Cool Place to Park... he was featured on The Road Behind, which is, I think, actually one of Gwar's better-known songs. He did a lot of backing vocals. And that was actually one of the things that really amused me when we went to see Gwar, because they were playing, you know, the videos. They're, you know, playing their top hits, right?
Yeah.
And one of the videos, you know, from, I think it was Jack the World. It had Michael Bishop, you know, on the screen as Beefcake, and then, you know, Michael Bishop standing up at the front of the stage as Blothar, so I was, you know, really kind of, I was amused by that.
Yeah, that was cool. I mean, yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. And, I mean, him and Dave were apparently very good friends. You know, I think he was one of the people that was most devastated by Dave's passing. And, I mean, have you listened to the new album?
No, actually, I have not. How is it? I'm gonna add it to my Google Play account.
Yeah, it's
tonight.
Yeah, it's really good. And there's, I never thought that a Gwar song would actually bring a tear to my eye. Wow. There's one song called Phantom Limb, which is basically Michael Bishop's tribute to Dave Brocky, or Blothar's tribute to, you know, Odorous.
Odorous, yeah.
Yeah. So it's. Because, you know, you listen to it, and it's just, it's clear, you know, how much emotion is in there. So.
Okay, I'm going to listen to it tonight, that's for sure. Wow.
So,
now I'm sad.
Yeah.
Dave, why did you leave us?
Yeah, well, like I said, you know, it's been 4 years, man, and, you know, I don't think any of the fans have really, you know, truly recovered.
No, I don't think so.
And the funny thing is, you know, a lot of people are complaining about, you know, Michael Bishop taking over lead singing duties after Dave's passing. But the funny thing is that Dave Brocky wasn't actually the original lead singer of GWAR.
Oh, I didn't know that. What? Who was? Was it him?
No, there was another musician named, I think his character name was Johnny Slutman. I can't remember the name of the musician that played him. Dave was actually originally the bassist.
Oh.
Yeah. There's a video on YouTube of GWAR's first show, and, I mean, it looks nothing like the GWAR that we have now. It's, you know, hockey helmets and, football pads covered in fake fur. But, because GWAR released a album called Let There Be GWAR, which was, I think they released it just a couple of years ago, which actually released a couple of the demos from the early years of GWAR before Dave Brocky took over as the lead singer. So it would have sounded completely different had Johnny Slutman stayed as the band's main singer. And they even have a couple of the early demos with Dave Brocky singing. And it was pretty obvious that he hadn't found Ordurus' voice yet, because it wasn't nearly as polished as it ultimately was on Hello.
Yeah. Oh, man, I don't want to stop talking about this, but I've arrived at my destination.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, I think we've managed to kind of, you know, cover a pretty good, pretty broad spectrum there.
Yeah, it was good. I think we've got enough topics for next time, too.
Oh, no. Yeah, we're going to be, this could actually become a regular thing.
Yeah, every Friday, man.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, well, I'm going to let you go.
Sounds good.
And I'm seeing you tomorrow, I think.
Yes, you are.
Love you, brother.
All right. Love you, too.
Take care. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.